What are you? We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, we again come before you, Lord, humbly. Father, we are just amazed at who you are. Your thoughts and your ways are so far above ours, Lord. And yet you love us. You watch over us each and every day. Lord, as we open your message this morning, I just pray that my words would be forgotten and your message would be loud and clear. Lord, hide me behind your cross. I ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
First John. As I looked at these verses this morning, I realized that, you know, it is a privilege and an honor to have fellowship with the Lord. If you look at Genesis and think about Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God personally. That is such an amazing thing. He was there with them. They were fellowshipping. That's part of who we are. God created us for fellowship. For fellowship with Him, first and foremost, but also for fellowship with each other.
Yeah.
So as we open 1 John, you'll see that John's got a section here where he talks a lot about fellowship. And so that'll be our focus this morning. As we open 1 John 1:5, and start reading down through there, you'll find there are two statements that I want you to focus on this morning. The first one is that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And we'll go into that a little bit deeply and talk about what that actually means. The other thing is at the end of that, at chapter 2, verse 2, he says, He Himself is the propitiation, that's the atoning sacrifice, for our sins, and not only for ours only, but for the whole world. These two statements together summarize the important central theme of the gospel. In the first four verses of the book of 1 John last week, when we were reading that, we read that John was an eyewitness. He was there when everything happened, from the beginning of John's ministry, or of Jesus' ministry, right up to the when Jesus went up to heaven. He saw it. He heard Jesus. He touched Him. He witnessed everything that happened. And so as we open this scripture, you'll see that as we start in verse 5, it says, Here is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. You see, John had every right, if you will, to declare, this is a message I heard from Jesus directly, right from His lips. Wow, what an amazing statement that is. We also read last week that Jesus is life. What does that mean? It means salvation only comes through Him. Through Him, we can have eternal life. And it's only through Jesus. We're also going to see that in these verses, there's a warning and a promise. The warning is that we must walk in the light, that is to obey the Lord, and not declare ourselves sinless. Again, we'll talk more about that as we read down through the scripture. And the promise that comes at the end of this section is, when we sin, if we confess and we repent, we will not be disqualified from fellowship, since Jesus is our advocate and already paid the price for our sin. So we'll read through this one time, and then we'll back up, and we'll start in verse 5, and we'll walk through. 1 John 1:5. This is a message which we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you do not sin, and that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Wow. Amen. Let's go back to verse 5. And this is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Again, John was a witness. This is the message. Well, what's the message? The message is actually pretty straightforward, right? God is light, and in him is no darkness. Now, think about that one for a minute. What does that mean, God is light? Is it saying that, well, God's made out of light? And, you know, he just, I mean, we know he's got Shekinah glory. He glows. He must be made of, no, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the character of God. And to understand that what it means for God is light, we actually have to go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says about light and darkness. If I start looking through verses, I find 1 John 1:4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the life. Jesus is our path to salvation. That is the light of men. Jesus is the light of revelation to the world. Luke 2:32 says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Again, it's pointing back to Christ. You think about goodness and evil behavior. Luke 11:35 says, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. We need to be sure what it is that we're focused on, what we're thinking, and that it reflects who he is. Christ is our Lord and Savior. He has filled us with the Holy Spirit. We need to track what the Holy Spirit is telling us and listen and do. Amen. Another one that you find in 1 Corinthians 4:5 is talks about openness versus secrecy. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring the light, the hidden things of the darkness will reveal the counsels of the hearts, then each one's praise will come from God. You see, God sees what's in our heart. He brings the light, and he will reward us for the light. Truth versus falsehood. This one really struck me. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You know, from the time I was young, I'd hear people say, well, you know, Satan's an angel of light. No, he's not. Scripture clearly says he transforms himself into that. He masquerades as an angel of light. That's not his core being. need to discern goodness and evil. There's another one. God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Wow. If we are in Christ, we are part of his kingdom. And as part of his kingdom, we are in the light. What light? The light of the Lord. The Bible goes on about that in Revelation 21:23. It says, the city had no need for sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The Lamb, Jesus. Again, this is all pointing back to Jesus, every single bit of it. As I started thinking about all that, I thought, well, gee, this is all New Testament, right? Is any of this in the Old Testament? Of course it's in the Old Testament. Psalm 27:1, I'll bet you some of you know this. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. See, the Lord is our light. In God, there is no sin, there is no ignorance, there is no error, and therefore there is no darkness. Amen. Let's move on to verse 6. You're going to find that in the following verses, there's three times where John starts a sentence with, if we say, and you will find that every one of these three have got a negative connotation, and you'll see what I mean in a second. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There is a huge difference between empty profession and actual gracious reality of salvation. Huge. Day and night. Life and death. It's the difference between being alive in God and being dead in sin. So it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness. Wow. If we're walking in the darkness, how can we be filled with light? Jesus is the light. If Jesus is shining forth from us, from his Holy Spirit, how can we walk in the darkness? To walk in the darkness does not mean that you never have any doubts or fears. Unfortunately, many, many Christians try to carry their burdens alone and don't walk in very close fellowship with the Lord. It's easy to do. It's really easy to get wound up about things. And it can be anything from very small to very large. And we lose focus on God. They spend their time worrying and being upset instead of in prayer. This isn't what John was talking about. He is referring to deliberately walking in sin. Now, I will tell you that not trusting in the Lord and worrying and getting upset is sin. But I'm talking here about abject, deliberate sin. John further points out that false profession is a lie. You know, I do not believe, this is the gospel according to George, I'll tell you right up front. I do not believe that anyone can be saved and not know they are. I hear pastors stand up and they say, are you sure that you're saved? I've been married for, I won't say how many years. I'm pretty sure that I know that I'm married. I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And God has been walking with me and directing me for more years than I have been married. I know that the Lord is directing me and that He loves me and that I'm saved. So as I look at these verses and I see these words about false profession, it makes me wonder. If I know I'm married and I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, what about those that don't have the Holy Spirit? You know, our heart is incredibly wicked and evil, and people are self-deceived. Enough said about that. Let's move on. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love this. If we walk, it starts out. If we walk. Did you notice that the Lord didn't say, gee, if you love me or if you think about me? He said, if we walk. This is implying activity. We should read our Bible, spend time in prayer, commune with God. But a major characteristic of our Christian life should be activity. Actually doing things, being the hands and feet of Christ. Being the mouthpiece of God. If we walk, not hibernate in a corner, reading and being holy. Actually being engaged in the people around us. This is part of that aspect of fellowship, by the way. John 5:17 says, but Jesus answered and said to them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. There's your example. Jesus says, the Father is working. Did you realize that? I always think about God. He's sitting up there on a throne. Jesus is doing the work, you know, with the world, and God the Father is sitting there going, I don't know what. Whatever God's things are. But the Bible says He is working, and Jesus is working. What an example to us. James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. James is calling us out. We need to be actively engaged, particularly in the people around us. And I don't mean just brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's easy to love people that think the same way you do and they act the same way you do. And, you know, you talk about the same things, you like the same things. It's a lot harder when somebody's in your face with a, you're wrong, I don't agree with you. Engage. It says, but if we walk in the light of the Lord, that is grace, truth, and love. John clarified this in his gospel, by the way. Back in John 3:19, he says, and this is the condemnation. Light, be careful. This is the condemnation that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, if we are walking in the light, we should be transparent. And I mean that a little bit as a pun. God's light should be shining out, and what we do should be visible to people around us. Closet Christians are not the way to be. It goes on and says, we have fellowship with one another. You know, there is no real fellowship if we don't have fellowship with God first. We need to be oriented the correct way. Love of those around us should flow from the love that's coming to us from God. It goes on, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As people walk in the light of God, the blood of Jesus cleanses them from sin. The verbs to walk and to purify are ongoing activities. Did you know that? As you're walking, you are being purified. God is continuously washing you and cleansing you and forgiving you. Jesus' blood is constantly washing you. Jeremiah 33:8 says, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon their iniquities by which they have sinned, and by which they have transgressed against me. You see, there was an Old Testament promise that continues to be true. God will cleanse you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There it is. There's the exact statement. Here is the promise I was talking about earlier. Jesus will wash those sins away. Let's define some words in this sentence. Let's start with faithful. It says he is faithful. That's talking about the trustworthiness of God. You see, we can put our full faith in God and never, never be disappointed. God is 100% accurate and pure and truthful. Never changing. It says he is just. I had to scratch my head a little bit about that one. And I would ask you to think about that. How is it if we confess our sins, he is just to forgive them? Why is God just for forgiving our sin? Seems to me justice would be to throw us into the lake of fire. It's just because our sins have been forgiven. Our sin debt has been paid. It's just because Jesus has imparted his righteousness to us. It's just because God so loved us that he sent his Son to die for us. It says he is faithful to forgive us. Oh, what's this about forgiveness? Forgiveness means he no longer holds your sin against you. He cancels your debt for the sin that has been incurred. And the phrase, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, means he purifies you and removes your defilement. Your sin is paid for, your debt is canceled, you have been made perfectly clean in his sight. That's who you are. As you walk, and as you confess, and as you do, you are seen as righteous in God's eyes. You say, well, I don't feel righteous. It doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is that God loves you. He provided a path for your salvation, and that's how he sees you. Getting technical for just a minute. The Greek uses an aorist subjunctive for the words forgive and purify. Wow, okay, so what's that mean? What that means is it's complete. When he forgives us and he purifies us, it's done. We have confessed. It's a done deal. It's behind us. You never have to forget about it again. You never have to remember it again. I'll spit it out. The point is that sin of the past is gone. God has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. He says, I will remember it no more. So why is it that we remember it? Why is it we bring it up? It gets in the way of our Christian walk. It is Satan crippling you. You need to think about the glory of God and what he has done for you. Yea, verily, we have all sinned. And he has blessed us so greatly with what he has done to pay for our sin debt and move us ahead. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. This is the third instance of if we say. And like the two previous, you know, this is pointing out something that's contrary to the truth. As I read that, it struck me, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. How do you make God a liar? Contemplate that one for a second. If we say we have not sinned, what we're doing is we're denying the fact that we're tainted with the sin of Adam. We're denying that we've done anything wrong ever. And we're saying that the sacrifice of Jesus is meaningless to us because we are perfect. Me, I'm sinless. Hey, if I ever say that, I need committed. I'll tell you right now. Because the Bible is very clear, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Every single one of us need Jesus. We need that sacrifice. We need that cleansing blood. We need that relationship with God. And saying that we are perfect is saying that either we're lying or Jesus is lying. When the Bible says that everyone sinned, one of us is lying, and it isn't the God. So that's how that comes about. We make him a liar. But it goes on and it says, and his word is not in us. You see, if we hold that ground that we are perfectly sinless and we do not need Jesus, we have just denied Christ. Guess what? There's exactly one sin that will keep you out of heaven.
That's it.
That is denying Christ. If you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to heaven. But if you deny him, there is no chance that you're going to heaven. It's that simple. No one comes to the Father without Jesus. Because we're sinful. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I like how he says that. My little children. Could you imagine getting this letter from John and it's, you're reading down through it and it says, my little children. Wait a minute, I'm an adult. That's not what it's about. This is about a relationship. And John's saying, I'm an apostle. I've got authority. You are my students, if you will. You are the ones that I'm caring for. I love you. That's what his message is there. My little children. John wrote at length about the fact that they should not claim to be sinless. Romans 3:23, as I already said, so all have fallen short. He also stated that we don't have fellowship if we walk in sin. Now, John is straight out telling us his purpose. his purpose here is that we might not sin. Right? These things I write to you so that you will not sin. You may not sin. But John goes on and he says, if anyone sins, well, John already knew that everyone sins. This is his pastoral position of being gentle, if you will, with his people. If anyone sins, by the way, when this happens, guys, we have an advocate. You know, as I read down through those verses and I think about Jesus, this is a very simplified way of thinking about this, so don't think this is completely accurate. But think about Jesus in some ways as our defense attorney. Amen. He's not only a defense attorney, though, but he's already paid our debt. Wow, that's an amazing thing. He washed us clean and he reconciled us to the Father. The Father, in this case, is the judge, in this example. The charge is sin. The penalty for sin is death. If you were to stand before the judge without Jesus, an advocate, being fully guilty, you would be required to pay the debt with your eternal life. There is no parole. There is no further mercy for payment. Has already been offered, and it would have been rejected. You see, right now, every single person who has heard the gospel has the opportunity to accept it, and they will be declared not guilty before the Lord. Goes on and says, Jesus Christ the righteous. Wow. You know, Jesus became a man and he, if you will, as he walked, he was tempted the same as we are. But he remained 100% sinless and pure. Jesus has us in his hand of protection. You realize that? He actually states it a few places in the Bible. He says that you're in his hand and no one can take you out. As Christians, that's a great promise. He is the anointed one. He's got the right to stand before the Father and plead our case. He's perfectly righteous. He imparts his righteousness to us before the judge. What an eternity. That's why I said this really isn't a very good analogy, because Jesus is so much more. First John 2:2 says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but for the whole world. Jesus himself paid the debt in full. There's nothing more that we can do. I talked a little while ago about active, being active, doing the will of God. That doesn't earn you any points towards your salvation. That is following the Lord. Your sin debt is fully paid for. Jesus did. No amount of works is going to get you into heaven or keep you out of heaven. Jesus is the only way. It says he is the propitiation. I don't like words like that. I like words like atonement, because when you look at the Old Testament, you get some idea what that's about. That's about sacrifice. That's about purity. That's about forgiveness. You see, our sin was removed. We were cleansed. God's wrath at us for our sin has been appeased because of Jesus. His sacrifice is sufficient for the Jews, for the Gentiles, and the whole rest of the world. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. for all time. Think about that for a minute. One man, the man God, whose perfect sacrifice covered our sins and everyone else's. Now, that's not to say that everyone in the world is or will be saved. You realize that? We are commanded to spread His word to the world. It's our responsibility. Did you ever think about the fact that as you're walking about, there's people walking by you that either have never heard the gospel. So, they're going to end up in the lake of fire, not before the Lord, if someone doesn't enlighten them, or somehow the gospel get to them. Every person that you pass and says, oh, you know, I'm this, or I'm that, other than being a follower, the Lord. They won't be there. How much do we love the people around us? How active do we want to be? Wow. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. Wow. Go forth. Tell, do. Matthew 9:37 says, He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Wow, we've got responsibility. As we walk in the light, we need to spread that light. I don't know about y'all, but if you ever carried a lantern around, the light kind of goes everywhere around you. It's a really cool thing. I like to think of us as candles or lights, you know, lanterns. I want to be a bright lantern. I don't know how you get to be a brighter lantern. I want people around me to see who Jesus is because of who I am. I hope you're the same way. As you walk in the light, spread that light to others around you. So here's the call to action. If you want fellowship with God and those around you, walk in the light of God. Follow His commandments and recognize that you are a sinner saved by grace. It is all because of Jesus. Recognize that salvation is a free gift. Nothing we say, nothing we do, by way of works, is going to change anything. We have either accepted the free gift of God, or we haven't. Tell the world what He's done for you, so that many may be saved. This planet for a reason. God hasn't taken us home for a reason. And that reason's got to do with our mission. And our mission is others, not ourselves. I'm going to close with a word of prayer this morning. And as I do, if there's anything that you'd like to pray about, anything that I can do to help, anything that you need, please don't hesitate to come forward and talk to me. Father, we do, again, address you directly as our Lord and Savior. Lord, you are so amazing and so powerful, and we are so grateful that you've made it a way for us, sinners, to come to you. Lord, we so look forward to that day when we'll stand with you in glory. Lord, we'll be just among the multitudes, honoring you and glorifying you, singing praises to you. What an amazing day that will be, Father. And so, Father, I just ask today that as we go forth from here, that you would give us direction and insight. Lord, you would help us to be faithful in our mission and our duty. That you would make us bright lights in the world of darkness. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' blessed name.